this you might want to take.
Is that mine? Actually?
Oh, somebody left their nifty laptop dongle.
It came with the facility.
Oh, I'd be surprised.
Is it? I'll
check. Somebody missing a nifty Apple laptop dongle? Okay. Never mind. Okay, my name is Aaron Falk, for those of you who don't know me. I'm the GPO's engineering architect, technical lead for this project. We've been trying... first typo. So we've been trying some different things with the agenda to try to balance having an opportunity for the different working groups to have sufficient time to go deep into various topics, balanced with having a chance for everybody to hear topics that they're interested in. And this is a difficult problem, and I spend a lot of my life doing scheduling of one sort or another. And it was clear to me leading up to this meeting, and which was reinforced in sitting into some of the working group sessions, that there were interesting things that were coming up in the working groups, but there were people who weren't in the room because there were interesting things coming up in other working groups. And so I asked the system engineers who are supporting the different working groups to try to pull out any cross-cutting topics that they thought were worth raising in plenary session. And so these are working group specific topics, but also topics that, these are topics that are broader than a single working group, but also topics that belong within a particular working group, but apply to all projects. And so this is a chance for people from different projects who weren't in the room to see some of these things. Basically, we've got a half an hour, and the format is I'm going to ask the system engineers who wrote the slides to come up and brief them. To the extent that we can take some questions and have some short discussion, let's do that. And if it's not clear, if it's not obvious where follow-on discussion should go, then we'll try to fix that before we move on to the next thing. So let me just ask that Harry and Vic and Mike Patton come up here so that we can do some rapid transitions, we'll try not to waste people's time. The first slide is Harry's, so come on up. I'm also interested in hearing about whether people think this is a successful activity we should continue in the future.
So Aaron, thank you. I'll try to be brief. I have everything on one slide. In the end-user opt-in working group, we've been working on defining a baseline view of the end-user opt-in issue, problem, whatever it is. And I think we've succeeded in beginning that process pretty well by compiling a view and putting in a draft document, which we've titled Genie End User Opt-In Overview. So that's posted, and we're trying to get to the point of actually getting that reviewed now in a wider area. One of the conclusions is that to be able to mitigate opt-in risks and solve opt-in issues, we're going to have a variety of acceptable use and best practice agreements between key actors in a Genie suite, whatever the situation is. However, we've not had a clear view of Genie actors, entities, and agreements. So the main point here is we need a clear view of that. And although we can start with a reference structure, much like Planet Lab, where you have a central consortium organization and a variety of research organizations that are both contributing and using resources, there's really a wide range of structures that are possible, multiple suites, federations, all sorts of things. And in that situation, you're going to have all sorts of agreements. So we've put this in a proposed view, if you will, in a draft document which we've titled Gini Structure Overview. So what that says is there's going to be a possible range of structures, and we need to think about those, the entities that you're talking about, the actors, the various agreements. And a corollary to that is that the expected range of Gini structures is going to have to be supported by the whole Gini architecture, in particular the control framework. So we'd like to begin the discussion fairly soon on the substance of this with perhaps lots of different people, and yes, on the terminology. Simply call a Gini structure is perhaps confusing. So that's my one slide. We have questions, comments? Boy, it's pretty quiet. Okay, thank you.
So at the services working group yesterday, we looked at how the different clusters currently specify experiments, how the toolchain from these various clusters use the experiment specification to help the user set up experiments, control experiments, and so on. In the course of these discussions, we identified some topics that the experimenter services working group needs or depends on from other working groups. So the first of these is RSpecs. So the a lot of the experimenter tools or specifications talk about resources needed by the experimenter, and then there are tools that take the specification and try to find appropriate resources for the experimenter. So obviously we need RSpecs. Good definition for these aspects, and we are looking to the control framework working group to for help with this. Then there's identity management. The experimenter tools are the work on behalf of the experimenter, so they need to be aware of the Gini identity management system. They need to use it to make sure that resources are appropriately accounted for and users have the right privileges. So the so we need tools. So the whole notion of identity management needs to be addressed. And finally, there's instrumentation and measurement, which goes across multiple working groups, not just experimenter services working group. Different aggregates may have different policies about what kinds of information may be collected about network traffic, about user behavior, or user traffic traffic generated by the user. So the tools need to be aware of what instrumentation or measurement facilities can be turned on and off, what can be collected. And some of this also relates to opt-in. Different opt-in users may sign up for different agreements on what data can be collected. And so the tools, again, need to be aware of that. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
We've discussed this, obviously, the last bullet, obviously, just yep. In the opt-in working group. We've discussed this topic in a broad swath somewhat, so this is an interesting request. I'm just curious from your perspective and requirement, once you go there, you can have either something very simple, which basically says, we collect IP addresses of all packets. That's relatively straightforward, but in some cases, things are a bit more complicated. Namely, we collect IP addresses of IPv6 over TCP over IPv6 packets that go to port 80, but only if it's Tuesday. Yeah. Or we sample those packets. I mean, all of these type of things. And you can see that, it would be almost impossible without writing a program that it does the sampling to convey that. So were you envisioning something which is suitable that I can show it to, let's say, my mother, that she understands that her email is being monitored? Or is it something which you see as suitable that is for a TCP dump spec level that would obviously not be suitable for non-expert consumption?
In this case, I think we were thinking of something that a tool that the experimenter uses can understand and react appropriately. It wasn't an agreement. It's not from the end user. In this case, end users are experimenters, not opt-in users.
This is one of the problems that we've had in the opt-in group repeatedly. And so all I can ask for is, please don't call. I mean, if you use the word opt-in and user in one slide, please be really careful, because otherwise we'll never get anywhere. What we give to a grad student who's getting his PhD in networking, and what we give to an external user not connected to Genie are very, very different things. Right. And if we confuse the two, we'll probably make sure that neither of them gets what they want.
Right. So in this case, opt-in does refer to the opt-in agreement signed by the somebody who opted in to a Genie experiment, not the experimenter, but say the example you mentioned, your mother who signed up to for a Genie service and whose email is being monitored. So that's the opt-in user. But the tools that you use to turn on and off or collect measurements taken need to be aware of what they can expect to get from traffic being generated by your mother.
So I think that part of the issue, if I understand the issue correctly, is that you may, for different kinds of opted-in end users, there may be different constraints, privacy restrictions on what information can be distributed about them, and that the researcher should understand sort of what the rules are that he's operating under, or what information is being masked from him by the system because it's adhering to these constraints. And so that information needs to flow to the tools that the user is using to design his experiment, because he may design his experiment differently based on how that works.
Right. So what we envision, because we don't really see that it's plausible we haven't had a whole lot of discussion on the topic, but one notion that we envisioned, because I don't think it's plausible for each individual user, I mean, your mother, my mother, to pick individual logging levels, just not a plausible proposition for any number of reasons.
I was thinking of legal constraints in different jurisdictions.
You've done, essentially, you have two experiments. I mean, the experiment runs in Europe, the experiment runs in the U.S., and what we envision is a kind of, think of your nutrition label on your bottle of cereal, on your box of cereal, which in relatively easily identifiable ways would say this experiment gave us content, probably phrased differently. And that would possibly filter down into the measurement infrastructure. But there's a big leap between what I just said and a TCP dump type level of specification. And I think unless we are clear as to how we get from here to there, we're either going to have just some very small number, if it's a direct translation, some very small number of filters that can reasonably, that we can translate into language that users can understand, and risks that they can estimate as to doing that, or we're going to have a mess, or we're going to have a miracle occurs here somewhere situation which we're not going to solve. So I think it's important that you coordinate, if you need something like that, a flow through the infrastructure where we start with something that the user sees, because in the end, that's all we can do. We don't want to lie to users. Yeah. And so it has to be something which is relatively simple, that's something that you can explain, that means probably a relatively small number of policies that you can reason about, so you don't have to do fine points each time, and then somehow get that down into the policy side. Yep. And I don't think we're anywhere close to that, and I'm a little worried about kind of taking a bottom-up approach, and because presenting TCP dump things to the user is hopeless. The other way, at least there's some possibility.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
That
was it.
Okay, thanks. Mike?
I hit space. Hopefully I hit space and I get my slide. So this is about overlap between working groups, and OMIS actually overlaps with every working group and every project in Genie. So that's a simple description of what our overlap is. And anybody, if you're in a project or you work with a working group, you should probably be paying attention to OMIS, but you can't because you were in a different working group. We did three presentations this time, and I'm going to show some quick slides after this that were the culmination, where we did overviews of all of the projects and their current levels of network integrations, operations data being submitted to the GMOC, and security, which are the three main areas that OMIS looks at. And I was somewhat happily surprised at how well some of those actually showed up. We would like to encourage everybody who has any connection, any Genie project, to go look at the slides, find them on the agenda, and see whether or not you agree with what we put down for your project. We will probably be converting those into wiki pages so that they can be updated and kept, continue to be maintained. Additionally, we had some small amount of discussion on how emergency shutdown can be handled in this large distributed federated conglomeration that's called Genie. We didn't come to any real conclusions. We just had lots of excited discussion. And the quilt talked about helping people get connectivity through their regional networks. The quilt is a group that's a cooperative group between all of the regional networks in the U.S., and they have some structure that they can work on helping to get people with, if you need layer two connectivity between this point and this point, they can work on that. And we had several miscellaneous digressions that weren't worth mentioning, but you'll find them on the notes when I get them typed up. This is the first of those overlap charts. This is the one I did. This is network integration. You'll notice that there's actually a lot of green. What is the black? Which is really good. The other colors are not necessarily. There's nothing that's red. There's nobody that was bad. Yeah, all children are above average. If you want to quickly find your project and look at it and decide whether you think you want to grab me later about what it says, you can do that. This was one that the GMOC put together about the data they were collecting. To this point, they're pretty much only collecting it from the control framework leads. But they are going to be talking to individual projects about whether or not they want to send in data. They have a document about their data structures and so on, and they can help you with that. And then this was one from Steve on security, and that was fairly nice to see how much green there was on that. So do people have questions on what OMIS is up to, or want to comment on any of the three slides? Wow, this should have been really controversial.
Terrific. We are a few minutes ahead of schedule, and the next session starts at 10:30. So we've got 10 minutes that people can use to go out and get a cup of coffee. Let me just throw the agenda up here if I can figure out how to make this work. Here we go. At 10:30, we're going to resume with cluster outbriefs. Each cluster will be sending a PI up to give a short 5-minute summary of where they're at, their plans for completing the Spiral 1 goals, and the ideas for Spiral 2. Which is a lot of material to squeeze into 5 minutes, but it'll be very condensed. So we'll break and we'll reconvene at 10:30. Thank you very much. Wait, Mike.